Our guest today, Chuck Prophet, started playing rock and roll in L.A. in his teens with Green on Red and has had a consistently great solo career ever since. In fact, his latest albums, including Soap and Water, his new one, have been among his best. Heck, he even has a summertime perennial to his credit with the song Summertime Thing. Today, he performs live at World Cafe Live and talks extensively with the cafe's Michaela Majun. We begin with a provocative observation.
I've had women friends describe some of your lyrics and the sound of your voice as lecherous. It's a very sexual sort of song. There's that line about taking your dress off, and it's your inflection.
Well, let me
too.
Help you out of that dress. I'm a gentleman. I like to think I am, at least in my fantasies.
But there's definitely a vibe.
To me, it's just rock and roll. It's no more overtly sexual than Bebopalula, as far as I'm concerned.
Which you also have a song about.
Well, I've got a lot of, I'm a fan of all those bop shooby dooby bop kind of doo-wop things where there's no need to articulate what you're saying. It's just understood. It's the primal goo goo muck from the deep within. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Is that a technical
term?
It's
beyond words.
I love that goo goo muck. Well, let's hear Freckle Song as performed by Chuck Prophet and the band today on the World Cafe.
Oh,
That's Chuck Prophet and the band today on the World Cafe with the opening track of the wonderful new CD, Soap and Water. You're a big fan of the Shoop Shoops and all that. And what about 50s guitar? I think I hear that in your playing.
Yeah, I love big note guitar, Duane Eddy, and I loved the Ventures and, you know, surf music. And I think when I first started playing guitar, I really didn't understand there was rhythm and melody. I would just try to find the melody, and that's kind of how I started playing. And now I do a thing that's sort of a cross of melody and rhythm, I think. So yeah, I'm a big fan of all that stuff.
But there are a lot.
Link Wray, of course. Yeah, Link Wray, Duane Eddy. We'll think. I'll think of a
Dick Dale.
I'll think of a bunch of them after this interview's over, I'm sure, when I'm walking down the street.
And you're such a resonant vocalist, and you have a really unique
deviated septum.
Is that it? You have a unique voice. Although today, it's always been bugging me who you reminded me of. And today, I realized a little bit Dave Alvin. It's the basso thing. It's the resonant super male thing.
I don't know.
You know Dave Alvin.
That's not the way I wanted to sing. I can tell you that.
Well, you don't know.
I always wanted to be able to sing high. I wanted to, you know, sing clear.
In addition to sometimes sounding lecherous, you all in your music.
Suave,
I mean,
yeah.
Suave. Well,
I don't know.
There's a fine line sometimes between lecherous and suave, but you're also such a romantic, and it comes through in a lot of the songs. And also, there's a quote in the CD from John Cassavetes that everything's about love. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, yeah. I think as a songwriter, I keep returning to that. I keep returning to this struggle between boys and girls. John Cassavetes said that he was interested in one thing, love, and the lack of it. He has a one-track mind. And that's all he's interested in. And I'm a great fan of his films. And and I just thought that was a wonderful way of summing it all up. Because I do find that when I dip my bucket into those themes, I'm never really disappointed with what I pull back up. And yeah, there's a lot of that running through this record. Marriage and, you know, middle age and infidelity and all the good John Cassavetes kind of stuff.
It seems like one of the romantic leaning songs on this album is A Woman's Voice. Talk about that song.
Well, I don't know what to say. I started that writing that song in a hotel in Norway, in Bergen, Norway, I think. I'd done that transatlantic flight. I went over to play a soul show. And I was completely ODing on my internal dialogue, and my body clock was turned around, and I was up all night, and there was nothing on TV. And I just kind of started riffing on that line and putting into these kind of blues couplets and in my notebook just for something to do. And I never really thought much of it, but I did return to it months later, and I just played the really one of the most obvious guitar figures. Let me see. And I was, a woman's voice will drug you. And then, you know, I just kind of went from there. I think when I was younger, I probably wouldn't have had the faith to think that it would ever turn into anything. But now I have more of that faith as a writer, you know, where I can tell myself, well, it may not sound like anything now, but it will.
Drug you. It happens all the time. start out down the middle, end up parted on the side. Yes, a woman's voice will drug you, lead you all around. Way down past the bus station, where nobody should be hanging around. Oh! She might roll you like duct tape. You'll be entwined in a modern dance. Yes, a woman's voice will drug you till you cannot feel your legs. When every syllable is like an ocean, drug you, and all your circuits gonna hum. You'll put on that stupid cape and smile, fly straight into the sun. Yes, a woman's voice will drug you. Get it while you can. Crawford. She let me know who was the man. Oh yeah. A woman's voice will drug. Right up off your feet. It's glorious. All right, son. You go ahead.
A Woman's Voice on the World Cafe. Chuck Prophet and the band on the stage of World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. Another song that's on Chuck's new album, Soap and Water. Is Prophet your real name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have picked that name if I had.
That's a really
I could have picked my own name, yeah.
That's a heavy-duty name.
Yeah.
And I know you grew up in the town that Richard Nixon called home for a while. He went to school in Whittier.
Yeah, and I lived in Whittier, California. Was born in Whittier, California, and one of my earliest memories was of going on a field trip, I think, with my first grade class, where we went to Richard Nixon's first law office. A dingy, little drab little place, I remember. But yeah, Richard Nixon. I'd take him back in a heartbeat right now.
You don't seem to have much in common with him.
Well, he was a drama student. Not a lot of people know that.
I didn't know that. You learned that growing up in Whittier.
I think I learned it from one of the biographies.
Now, I also know that Whittier was founded by Quakers.
Well, that you got me on that.
So
I
you weren't
know there's a lot
up...
of one-way streets. No.
Philadelphia street. And
no, I had kind of a Catholic, typical Catholic upbringing. My sisters all went to Catholic school, but for some reason or another, when I took that test, I just couldn't really put my heart into it. The classroom had this smell of I don't know how to describe it. Discipline, probably. So my sisters did go to Catholic high school, but not me.
And you grew up so close to L.A., but I'm sure it was a world away culturally.
Well, I did grow up in L.A. I mean, Whittier's kind of East L.A. I grew up about three houses off Whittier Boulevard.
So
just
you
on the edge of the Orange Curtain there, Orange County. Mm-hmm.
So you used to go into L.A. and hear music when you were growing up?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean,
what was going on then?
Well, I remember seeing some of the early bands like X early on, and I remember being with my friends. And prior to that, music was just made by, I don't know, rock stars, these kind of gentry that lived in these castles or these hobbits. I didn't understand it, but I remember seeing some of those early bands and turning to my friends and saying, you know, we could probably do that. So it was a pretty inspired time.
Chuck Prophet is our guest today on the World Cafe, and I know that you have experienced some of the pitfalls of the music business. And is it true that your manager Actually, I know somebody else he used to manage, Jules Scheer, Mike Lombo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He turned out to be kind of a shyster, it turns out.
Well, I mean, I was naive, and I did sign away some of my publishing in a way that, in retrospect, you know, I wish I hadn't. But, you know, it took time, and I got it back, and he was a gentleman about it. So, you know, you learn these things.
Oh, but I thought he threw out your masters.
Well, that's true. Yeah, yeah. He did throw out the master tapes of one of my records, and... I don't know. I think they were using it to prop up like a hibachi or something in his backyard. And eventually it went into the dumpster, which was a real pity because later a label approached me about remixing it and re-releasing it. And I don't know, just one of those things.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were also...
More records to make.
You seem very laid back about it, like it doesn't bother you that much.
Well, I've worked through it. I can't say I felt that way at the time.
You've also struggled with some of the legendary excesses that rock people are known to struggle with.
Well, I've been, about 10 years ago, 10 years and 1 month ago, I stopped drinking and doing drugs completely, and you know, I entered into a program and started taking some suggestions, and
congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
What were you like before that?
Well, I was a bit of a mess, really. I mean, I managed to do what I needed to do, but I was a mess in a lot of ways.
You know, the stereotype about writers being drinkers, and that sometimes people who are creative are afraid if they aren't excessive or intense, that it will affect their art. Did you find that? Did you have that fear? Is that one of the things that propelled you?
Well, the thing about, your life becoming unmanageable, it would be pretty hard for me to romanticize that. I really wasn't doing anything productive. I mean, and just my life outside of music, I was pole vaulting over mouse turds, making everything hard for myself. And, I don't really subscribe to that. I mean, I think that I have a lot of life experiences to draw from as a writer. And just as a writer, if you have your antenna up, there's a lot of stuff out there. So, it's really finding the space for me that I can get into the zone where I can take one of these ideas and wrestle it all the way to the ground. And I don't always find myself in that space, but when I do, that's when I'm happiest.
Chuck Prophet is here today on the World Cafe. You're quite a lyricist. Sometimes your lyrics are cryptic. Do you think so?
I think as a songwriter, there's a balance, I probably struggle with, making sense versus making too much sense. And that's the thing, that's where your instincts come into play. So I don't know if I set out to be cryptic or set out to be obtuse or anything, because when I hear it, obtuse stuff, it's certainly not tickling my monkey bone.
I don't think you set out to do that either. It's just, maybe that's the wrong choice of words. Maybe it's just sometimes it's an expression of a personal vision or the way your own mind works. Usually it's spot on. I mean, I'm not trying to say that your lyrics are hard to interpret, but occasionally...
Well, some are more, I would say some are probably more impressionistic than others, but there are other songs that are more character-driven, which is something I probably learned from listening to a lot of Randy Newman, and being able to give the voice to other characters is really a lot of fun, because then you just sort of follow it, the song, to its logical place. And I do enjoy writing in a conversational way, and I like capturing the way that people talk in songs. And you take a song like from today, Let's Do Something Wrong, Let's Do Something Stupid. I mean, that for me was kind of a character-driven song, because I've certainly done a lot of stupid, wrong things, so I'm not the guy. But I send that out to there's a lot of characters like that.
do something stupid, something we'll regret tonight. Anything but the same old nonsense, anything but the same old grind. Well, I once loved a girl, she wouldn't love me. I loved her hard and I loved her true. She only lived up the hill above me. What in the world can a poor boy do? Help me!
That's Let's Do Something Wrong from Soap and Water. Our thanks to Chuck Prophet and to Michaela Majoun. A very interesting interview today with Chuck. Coming up, the man that he sounds like, or at least some say, when we get back here to the World Cafe.